Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. Chris has business on all the settled continents, including, of course, Oceania, the vastness of the Pacific. And we go to the other side of the Pacific to news about the People's Republic of China's economy. There are headlines that are ominous. For example, Market Watch, alarming, quote, China data upsets global stock markets. This is within these last days. A deepening slowdown in the world's second largest economy is unnerving investors who have been focused more on the U.S. outlook. I go to charts that are from most recently published in London that show the Chinese economy starkly as unemployment among the 16 to 24-year-olds climbing. The dependency on the West, that is, the chips makers, is climbing. Dependency. And at the same time, direct foreign investment is declining, has been declining for some time. Chris, a very good evening to you. You have been documenting the decline, the anxiety, the slowdown in China for some time, anecdotally. These numbers support that it's not just in the Pearl River Valley. It's not just in electronics or the high end. It's throughout the economy. My question for anyone reading these charts is, what's going to stop the decline? Because the old saying on Wall Street is you can't catch a falling knife. Is there a business plan that you've heard that China can at least stem the collapse? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. There's no plan at the moment, no seeming way out. There's been discussion in China of more government stimulus, but the problem is not caused particularly within China. The problem is an external problem. As the global economy is going through recession, you see consumers increasingly tapped. You see governments increasingly tapped. Manufacturing has slowed globally, and that has a substantial material adverse effect on China. When you're seeing container volumes down by 30%, when you're seeing direct investment down by 50%, the only reaction to that can be unemployment going up and the economy in China slowing. So until the global economy heals, it's virtually impossible for the Chinese economy to heal.
The straightforward talk is slump in global demand. Does that mean we're in recession? Or does that mean we're coming out of it? Or does that mean we've switched suppliers or in some fashion 10 or 15% of the dependency has moved elsewhere? What does slump in global demand mean?
It's really a combination of multiple factors there. So if you look at things like global cell phone and smartphone consumption, last year that was down 12%. So as the consumer is increasingly stressed, maybe you can live with that iPhone 12 longer and you don't need the iPhone 13. Maybe you can live with that television longer and don't need the larger one. That slowing of the consumer pace, because the consumer is under pressure, as we've come out of the pandemic, government stimuluses have gone away. China was kind of riding on that sugar high during the pandemic of globally governments sloshing a lot of money around. That money is now gone. The consumer is more constricted and orders across the board are down.
The geopolitics of this, does that weigh on business decisions? I'm thinking of how the Biden administration has maintained the tariffs from the Trump years. The Biden administration is identifying certain sectors as no longer to make, they're not going to make it easy anymore for certain sectors to trade with China. I don't know that there's comparable legislation in Europe, but is there a general understanding that the aggression that Xi Jinping and the PLA has showed toward their neighborhood is determining factory orders? Is there a connection, Chris?
There's certainly a connection. John, in the last 10 years, you went from a policy message from DC of China is competing, and in many cases competing unfairly, especially through the theft of IP, to now you have general talking points from DC of decouple your supply chains from China. You see that being actually followed up with policy with things like CHIPS Act and saying, let's reshore more manufacturing in the U.S. And then you also see the inflationary cycle that's hit China. Labor in China now is 2, 3, 4 times the cost of labor in India, in Vietnam, and Mexico. So China, in its evolution, while the society has evolved greatly, the labor rates have gone up, and it's making it less and less viable for some of the labor-intensive, low-value-added manufacturing sectors, especially things like apparel, that are moving out of China.
The shipper Maersk, you bring to my attention how they're looking to the future and seeing there's going to be a slowdown. Does that match what we're hearing about a global demand slowing global demand for China? Are shipping rates all a product of how well China's doing?
Shipping rates have huge influence from China. What you're seeing now are many of the larger carriers, Costco, Maersk, that are removing ships from the Asia to U.S. routes to try to keep the price up. Pricing on containers has actually gone up in the last several weeks because they're reducing available supply the same way an airline might take airplanes out of the sky to increase the seat rate. But that's a direct effect of that roughly 30 to 35% drop in container volume post-pandemic and with the global slowdown.
The Wall Street Journal put the word deflation on the front page in these last days, meaning China is experiencing deflation. Do you find that consistent with the information you get from China, that they're cutting their prices?
In certain sectors, yes. In electronics, in compute, not yet. But the pressure is likely to cause that to crack. The greatest thing I think everyone in the business sector is watching now is one of the steps that the Chinese government could do and has been rumored to be looking at is further devaluation of the yuan. So could China try to re-kickstart orders by pushing the currency down and making things cheaper? In that fashion, yes, quite possible, but it's still unknown if the global demand is there, if the consumer is the U.S. consumer credit card debt has now topped $1 trillion for the first time in history. The consumer's tapped. They don't have the money to spend.
We come home to America because all the trouble in the world is not overseas. WeWork, a troubled firm since the genius of the founders founded. The words mean different things. So what we have here is a report that WeWork's in trouble again. The second quarter almost met the average analyst estimate in a difficult operating environment, says the chief executive officer. But WeWork is a piece of the larger story of commercial real estate. I note in New York, statistics I read in the city regularly, the city, the online journal, say that the occupancy rate of the big downtown remains 47%. It hasn't risen for months and months and months. Subway, compared to before the pandemic, flatlines at 70%. In other words, the city has not returned to full employment. And not likely to. Is there a trend, though, that can reverse this? I've noticed that some firms are coming out and talking about work from home is no longer desirable for employees. Are you hearing this nationally, or is it just a New York City phenomenon?
John, what you're seeing, I think, in that market is now governments and large corporations are waking up to the point that you have to get people back in the office to continue to function as a company while you lose company identity, team ethic, work ethic in many cases. So you're seeing that forced back to work. However, you're also seeing more and more people drop out of the workforce and say, yeah, I'm not going to go back. The two fundamental questions are, one, does that mark a shift for downtowns across the country in that you'll have more and more office failures and fail to convert people back to the office? And or number two, until you have the next growth cycle in the U.S., if we're truly in the recession that I believe that we are in, and you'll have more layoffs, more constriction, until you have that growth cycle, a lot of these buildings are going to remain vacant.
I use Zoom for the interviews that I do around the world. You tell me that the competitors for Zoom are cutting back. And is that connected to the work from home no longer being dominant?
It could well be. You still see Zoom, you see Teams, but you saw yesterday Verizon announced the end of their service called BlueJeans, which was their Zoom competitor. So you're certainly starting to see more and more competitive factors that say these remote platforms, which are at peak use during the pandemic, are starting to reduce in consumption and or some of the market shifts around that.
And the commercial real estate nationally, the malls, I'll include everything, the malls, the mini malls, the downtown buildings rated A, triple plus or whatever, the big fancy ones. Are they now dealing with the shortfall in revenue? Are they now dealing with the likelihood of loans being called over the next 3 years?
You're absolutely seeing in commercial real estate more and more loan defaults, more and more non-recourse loan buildings being given back to the banks and to the lenders. So you're just at the very tip of this iceberg where for the next 2 or 3 years, as large commercial leases expire that were signed pre-pandemic, you'll see more defaults and a choppier time for the office buildings. The mall market is really on fire in terms of burning to the ground because of things like Amazon. That's an extremely rough market. Some of the largest operators are removing themselves from that market because it's just no longer viable.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. He has business on all the occupied continents. This is the Scala Report, CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.